cliffcentral.com.
Peace and love, peace and love. Good morning. Yes, it's 6:05. It's already, we're about first knuckle deep into June.
So glad you didn't say finger. You really are becoming classier in your old age, Nicholas.
Oh, Ben, I mean, it would be wrong. If you divide the month into five, what does that give you? I mean, this is why we're not good at maths.
Do you have more than five knuckles? Four knuckles?
How many do you have? You got one, you two, got five, three. No, you got three knuckles. Three knuckles in each finger.
Four.
Three.
But where do you count every four? Every finger has essentially what's called a knuckle.
No, hang on. Look, here we go. We got the one.
Your thumb doesn't
one,
really.
No, the one where you're...
really average?
Yes.
Yes, we need to figure this
evidently
out.
Evidently, we need to have this conversation.
You say you're knuckled deep.
Much the disbelief of everybody below. We are having
no, clearly we need to have this conversation because we don't know.
Right, so let's figure it out. God damn it, this is for science.
It's
all right.
Four.
First thing, you got this one here, the main knuckle. That if you made a fist, that would be the one that would connect the hardest with someone's face.
Wait, so that's right? Your third finger?
That's number one.
Finger.
Well, any finger. They're all going to be the same. You got the same number of knuckles, which is why they all bend the same way.
I'm so
Think
confused.
About it. All right, so one, two, three. You got three knuckles.
Oh.
So what's hanging out in the pinky then? Is that just...
What do you mean?
Cartilage. I mean, like...
It's one, two, three. One, two, three. Yeah.
Can it's I use same. Pointing at fingers now?
No, it's the same thing. I mean, come on. This is not complicated. Someone, for heaven's sake, if there's anyone with better evidence, we're sitting here, we're all counting our knuckles like a bunch of apes. It's three knuckles per finger. Okay, even the thumb. One, two. Wait, no. Hang on.
Wait, one,
the thumb
two.
Only has two.
Thumb's only got two.
That's so weird.
Okay, getting back to it, how is this dividing June properly?
I don't know.
Well, listen. If you take the month, how many days in June? 30 days, September, 30 days. Divide it into the three knuckles, gives you 10. So I said we're almost up to the first knuckle inside of June. And I'm going to apologize right now to any woman called June. All right, everybody, let's start that again. Let's just pretend we didn't even start the show.
Yeah.
I'll start it with a radio voice and we could go back to being totally inoffensive because that's how people like Ryan Seacrest make money.
Play a sting.
And everyone on commercial radio in the country. So let me be as inoffensive as possible, all right? Let's just do this again.
Cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's 6:07. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning, still no rain in Cape Town, but they say there's a deluge heading there tonight, so look after your pets. Can you imagine? I could do that for about 2.5 seconds. I was getting a blinding headache.
Your face has gone red.
Yes. 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 So, what are you missing in your life right now? I mean, what would you like more of?
Oh,
money.
That's a very big question.
Money, okay.
Yeah, I just want some more money.
That's it?
Yeah, everything else is quite cool, actually. I like the people. I like the things I have.
All right. You like your cat?
Yeah, Meows is cool.
Mm-hmm. What do you want more of, Sia?
In what sense? Because I can go superficial or super, super deep.
Well, just be super
and
Sia.
Philosophical.
Give us one of each.
Superficial, yeah. I can just say something like money. Something deep and philosophical. I'm missing or I need more of a deeper, meaningful connection.
To whom or what?
Get off the knuckles now. Yeah. Come on.
A deeper connection. You need to be at least second knuckle.
To just being here. That's what the yogis say.
What do you mean? You want to know the meaning of your existence. I mean, this is not a small thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a deep and philosophical
thing. It's too early for the meaning of existence.
Exactly.
But all right. So again, more money. I mean, this is a standard human situation.
Hey, but more money, more
how
problems.
About you?
Oh, no, purely superficial. I'd like less of my physical self.
What do you mean? You know, like you just don't want to be thinner?
Dude, I am so gross right now. Every morning I look in the mirror and I have to stop myself from vomiting.
Oh, come on. What a... You know...
Less of my physical self. That's what I would like more of. I'd like more of less.
I'm meant to be the only one here who has issues around not looking as good as they think they should look.
I'm sorry, what?
This is novel.
I mean, what gives you that right? We're all humans. We all hate how we look.
I didn't say. I didn't say. No.
Debatable.
I was genuinely happy this morning when I woke up. I don't know why. I felt good. I just thought, I shouldn't complain about anything, and I'm not going to today.
Oh, so you set the rest of us up?
No, I didn't.
To complain about something, and then you're gonna come off as the guy who's
the guru.
Happy.
Yeah. How about you, Amanda? What do you need more of in your life today? What do you feel like you need more of? Why are you not on here? The microphone. I've got you connected on my desk. Is it not on that side? Ay, ay, ay.
Well, that's odd.
Great.
Amanda would like more sound.
Never a day without a technical problem. Just, we'll figure it out. Otherwise, come in here and just say it on this microphone. Come in here. Try to keep her in the booth there, but it's... Sometimes you got to get these ones going. Wait, what would you like more of today? What do you want?
I think more money would be good.
Right.
Well, actually, money, being young. So, right. Yeah, money would be good.
Not sure. Even more, just money.
Yeah, just money.
Just any money would be nice,
right? Any money, wherever it came from is cool too.
Okay.
Just some money.
Be careful how you say that.
And maybe a little bit of more days in the weekend.
All right, now I'll reveal why I said this.
Oh, yeah.
I think, my ballet's one you can do because it's so doable. It really is. Like you go, it's June, nobody else... is thinking about summer bodies right now.
But this is the time we're meant to start.
Mm. You starve yourself and you just run and run and run.
Oh. Great advice.
Yeah, so that's yours. But as for the money one, because I met someone the other day who's got tons and tons of money. They got so much money. And I don't know how in this economy, but there are really rich people. There are people who have just farms and... cash and investments and art and cars, just their lives are just overwhelmingly flooded with cash, which is great. You know, everybody gets their leg up or their blessing at some point in life. Mm-hmm. And this guy is a misery. He's the most unhappy son of a bitch you've ever met in your life. He could not stop for the 45 minutes that I was around him, he could not stop complaining about everything.
I didn't realize you're still hanging out with Duduzani Zuma.
You're more than welcome to introduce the rest of us to him.
Yeah. Mabs is thinking that house in Dubai looks damn nice.
Hey, man.
But really, this guy was just an unhappy.
Why, does he not have someone special in his life?
He has nothing, Ben.
Ginger hair.
He's got money. That's all he's got. And he has to buy his friends and he has to pay for things that he needs.
But does he look like Quasimodo? Does he have a lisp?
Not even. Not even. And he's younger than me. He's...
We'll bring him in.
Yeah.
No. Oh.
Does he have like a bad temper? Is he quite violent?
Nothing wrong with him.
There has to be something wrong.
He's got
wrong
a
with him,
shitty
though.
Attitude to everything. He thinks everybody is out to get him.
Okay, then how did he acquire this wealth then? Arms dealer?
No, he's smart enough to have built up a nice little fortune, and he's done it all on his own, which is to his credit.
Amway. There has to be a reason why this guy is so fundamentally...
It's all in the way he feels about himself. He's just an unhappy person. He can't understand... why, despite all his hard work, he has not got ahead. I don't understand it either. He thinks he thinks that the only way that he can get anyone to respect or like him is to spend money. I mean, he didn't say that. I'm just surmising from
in
between.
See, that's a deeper philosophical thing. You know what I mean?
Well, I didn't feel much better walking away from the situation because I thought, you know, I feel kind of sad for this guy. And most people would see him and they'd think his life is so perfect. Mm. Why would anyone want to feel sorry for him? I didn't feel good. I almost felt like I should spend time kind of trying to help him figure out his problems. And then I realized I'd be a terrible therapist. So I gave up on that idea. And I don't know that anyone really cares about him that much. And that's part of the problem, that they're going to sit down and help him.
See, that's why
there's
I want
some
to
lonely,
be
lonely people in
a
the world.
Professional spender for people. See, someone like this
yeah, good
just
thinking.
give me a million of your money and I'll show you a good time.
Of course, it would then
sounded like a lady of the night.
No,
it would continue to ruin their self-esteem.
There is a job, it's called prostitution.
No, not in that way. But you know, you and I can go jet skiing, I'll high five you, we'll have a secret handshake.
Yeah, but then as soon as that person goes, how about I don't pay you this month and we just hang out, you'll be like, hell no.
I didn't say we're friends, I said I'm a professional spender.
You offer
and then
a
their
service.
Self-esteem.
Exactly.
You offer service.
That's a good service, and people need it, and people are willing to pay for it. Oh, this morning, by the way, we've got some interesting things happening. We've got the Dutch ambassador popping by.
Is Gord Laws the Dutch ambassador?
No, but Gord Laws is here too. He's popped in to say hi. He's an old friend of ours, and he's moved back up from Cape Town, right?
Smart.
Yeah. Oh, you think so? Well, first of all, he came up because he desperately
needed a
water.
Shower.
Yeah.
So, poor guy.
Yeah, sure.
Doing what he can to, you know, to get some water. But apparently they are expecting some very heavy rain tonight. They say that there's this massive storm coming into Cape Town. Anyway, the Dutch ambassador is coming in. And I thought we'd check in on her because, you know, we got Hi Rob who lives in Amsterdam.
Yes.
Who calls us, once a week. And just Holland fascinates me. I'm fascinated by the people who live there, their attitude to everything. They seem to me to be, even though Europeans are pretty weird by and large, the Dutch are extra weird. They've got a very interesting outlook on life. It seems that nothing surprises them or gets them down. They're completely without prejudice. I mean, I'm speaking obviously very generally here, but they seem to me to be very interesting people. They've got this weird history where they were always financially, from about the 1400s, the Dutch had lots and lots of money. They were good merchants. They had a fleet of merchant ships, private ownership. This is stuff that was unheard of then. The only people who had money in Europe in those days were like kings who would just steal from their people. And that's the only way the Dutch were trading.
Didn't the Dutch also own Manhattan?
They did. They discovered New York, and they named it New Amsterdam first.
New Amsterdam. There
really?
We go, yeah.
Yeah. The island of Manhattan. Manhattan, it is a Dutch word, and they discovered this island, and they named it New Amsterdam all those years ago. And then Peter Stuyvesant. Stuyvesant. This is a Dutchman. Yeah. It's from Holland. And he discovered, he kind of colonized New York. So yeah, that's why you find all those surnames in that part of America, like Vanderbilt.
Oh, that's
Vanderbilt.
Ooh, those good surnames.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah,
I'd
yeah.
like to marry into
it's
them.
All Dutch families that settled in America, and they did.
That's where the wealth comes from.
Yeah,
as well.
Remember the Dutch East India Company was at some point in the history of the world. It was the biggest corporation that ever existed, and I think it's still by Apple and Google standards today, if you compare with inflation and the number of people involved in the economy, and mm-hmm. I think it still is, in historical terms, the biggest corporation that's ever existed. And basically, they would trade in spices and in silk and in gold and in all kinds of stuff that people needed. Tea, cocoa.
Oh, this is
tobacco.
Fascinating.
Yeah, these guys were ahead of their time in some ways. I'm just, you know, that's the most interesting parts of kind of Dutch history that I care about. And also, they never really had. They used to have a king or a prince, but he was always elected by like other people in society. So it wasn't like a hereditary monarchy for the longest time. Eventually, they established themselves as the Orange family. William of Orange's family. They established themselves as the royal family of Holland. But before then, they used to kind of vote for what they called stadtholders. And these people would get enough votes to kind of run that town. So it was almost a democratic system in a time where there were only kings. Very weird. And the Dutch, as a result, they've got this very lax attitude to drugs and sex. And they're a very permissive society, which I, of course, think is way better than being all closed-minded and Calvinistic and, you know, judgmental. And you know how South Africa is by comparison. You've got people who think it's a good idea not only to make rules for themselves, which they can't follow, but also to tell everybody else what to do.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Dutch ambassador, Miss Marisa Gerards, will be coming in to see us this morning. We'll talk to her a little bit about what's going on over there. And she's got a really, really interesting CV too. She's been in the EU. She's been in foreign affairs. She joined that ministry in 1992. She's occupied a whole bunch of posts all over the world. She was in Brazil for a while. And she's in South Africa. She's now our ambassador, or the Dutch ambassador to us. And then I've been recording a series of Father's Day interviews because, you know, here at Cliff Central, we're trying to kind of focus on the family that we have, the extended family we've got. And I'm going to be interviewing Trevor Gumby and his boys. You know, he's got two young boys, and he's, believe it or not, Trevor Gumby, besides he himself being a complete raving lunatic, actually turns out to be a really good dad. And mm-hmm. his kids just love him, and he spends a huge amount of time with them, and they're all coming in. And we'll record that, and we'll be playing it out next week when I go off to Germany for a little while. I spoke yesterday to Brett Lindsay and his dad, who's actually a famous guy. Brett Lindsay's dad, Keith Lindsay, used to be like the most powerful man in radio in South Africa once. And I only discovered this about 3 months ago.
I remembered you mentioned this a while ago.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Guy's a dark horse, that Brett Lindsay. Says to me, oh, yeah, yeah, that's my dad. Still, well, you didn't think it was important to tell me this? Idiot. And a few others too. Tumisho Masha. Mm-hmm. So these are all people who have been or are still part of the CliffCentral.com family. All got really interesting dads. Plus, you know, in this country, we've got a problem with dads. We've discussed this so many times. Craig Wilkinson, the author of a book called Dad, said that the single biggest societal problem in South Africa, if you think about how people go about their daily business, how they interact with each other, how men treat women. There's so many conversation points around this. The biggest problem we have, no male role models for most South African boys growing up. They either have an absent dad, or their dad is not the kind of role model that anyone wants. Mm. And if we got that right, Craig says, and he's also one of the people we'll be talking to in a while, he said if we got that right, if we just got dads to do what dads are there to do and kind of make boys feel that they have a strong, responsible, accountable male role model, we wouldn't have half of the crime, the unemployment, the abuse, and all those things that are mostly perpetrated and perpetuated by men. So I know it sounds heavy, but those are important things,
the truth,
you know?
Though.
And everybody talks about, oh, well, the biggest problem in South Africa is racism or the economy or unemployment. It really, if you drill down to what the actual problem is, kids don't grow up going, oh, the economy's bad, so I'm going to murder or rape or steal or, you know, or start taking drugs. They do it because they don't have a dad. So he's got an interesting book that he bought it out like 2 years ago or whatever. And he goes around the country, he talks to young men, and just one of those people who does good work, and there are not enough of them. So when you meet them, you got to help them out where you can and spread their message a little bit. So that's why Craig's going to come in later. Busy,
Mind
busy
you,
day.
We should be taking this as the official reminder to get that soap on a rope for next week, Sunday.
What's that? Oh, yeah, for Father's Day. You've got to buy a present. Now, this is the worst
I'd forgotten.
Thing.
I'd forgotten until we started preparing for those shows. I was like, oh, shucks, right.
Ay-yi-yi.
About that.
I didn't buy my mother a present for Mother's Day, and I don't think I'm going to buy my dad a present for Father's Day. Otherwise, it seems like I'm trying to overcompensate. Mm. Don't fall into the commercial shit. Just, you know, think about it. That's all. Just be grateful if you've got one. If you don't have one, you know, don't feel bad about it. It's the least you can do. All right, so we've got a busy day today. We've got a lot to talk about. There's plenty going on in the news. We'll check in on that in a moment or two. I just want to go back to the weekend, if we can, for a second. And make it clear, Amanda did not get into any fights on the East Rand because a lot of people have been mischaracterizing you since the last time you told us that, you know, you guys have very, very hardcore weekends. Sometimes you've got girls in your crew who get into fights.
No, there was a little something, but it wasn't dramatic.
Oh. Well, do you want to reveal all now before someone calls in and tells us what you got up to?
No, so we went to this house party, this like little birthday party of my friends.
And what happened?
So we were about to leave because like my cousin kissed my best friend's dude, and it was just
This is your cousin from Australia?
No, Australia was out of control. We won't even go to her. I didn't even see her half of the time. But then my friend was like, okay, we need to go, we need to leave. So I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, well, get the hubby, get our hub, we want to go. So now she goes to this chick, and there's this other chick sitting in front of the hubby. So my friend's like, she just walks over and takes the hubby, and then she's like, we're leaving. And then the chick sitting in front of the hub was like, what are you doing with my hubby? And we were like, excuse me? So and then it just broke out there.
Uh-oh. So was there a bit of the proper physical altercation?
No, just a lot of bad language, you know.
Anybody calling anybody whores, that sort of thing? Is that what we're talking about?
No, like even worse. Like,
oh, really?
The C word, my friend was just like, my friend was just atrocious with her mouth.
Wow, it's a proper fight.
Proper fight.
And does this happen often at house parties? I mean, who's brave enough to host a house party in Edenvale?
No, my best friend actually, she tends to do this. So like, we mostly like expected it. We knew it was going
to
happen.
Do you have to take precautions when you go out with her? Do you have like first aid kit in the boot?
Pretty much, because like, I left the Cadbury event. And then I went to fetch her.
Yeah.
And then I was still like, we need to go to the shop to get drinks. So, you know. And when I picked up, she was drunk. And I was just like, dude. Ooh, I was like, we all know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I was like, we can't get to your level quick enough. And then you're going to start with us because we're not on your level. So I'm like, this was a bad idea.
Now, is this like a Jersey Shore type of fight? Ooh,
my mom
is there hair pulling?
My mom calls us the Arsandoval Shore because I live in Arsandoval. And like, funny enough, most of us that hang out together, we all live in the same area. So we all like roads apart from each other. So it's just a nightmare.
What's the drink of choice here? I mean, like, what's the fire that you guys take part in? What do you drink?
On Saturday, the bottle store closed, so the only option was like to go to Spa, Pick and Pay. Obviously we have to drink wine.
Oh no.
Because that's all you can get.
Ooh. Oh man.
It seemed to work. It was quite nice.
Mm.
It worked.
You mix that up with other stuff or do you just have wine?
No, we just have wine and then some shooters, but like my friend that I picked up, I don't know what's wrong with her. She's drinking Hunters with like two tots of rum in it, so it was just like crazy.
That's rolling the dice earlier.
Oh, good lord. She's a savage.
She's crazy. She is mad. Like, even my mom yesterday was like, I don't know how she's got family problems. Funny enough, yes. It started before.
Yeah.
But then, like,
she got a boyfriend?
No. Even like the guy that she liked that kissed my cousin, he was like, Amanda, I can't be with someone who does this.
Mm.
I was like, oh.
Well, she's just obviously unhinged. She's got no, there's no regulator there.
But no, like my cousin from Australia was worse, which made her feel really better. Like Australia was just mad.
Now, do you think that's because she's in a foreign country and she doesn't have to behave? In Australia, they've got so many rules.
She's got a boyfriend and she was
in Australia.
Yeah, and she was going all crazy.
Yeah, but different area code.
No.
And that's a whole different country code.
Different time zone.
Yeah, I mean, he's never going to know.
Different language.
It's called the required holiday from your spouse when you leave them in one country and go to another. It's allowed.
But like, everyone was calling her extra because she was just extra the whole time. Like, she would put pictures of her kissing my friend on Snapchat. And
Jesus.
Your boyfriend's on your Snapchat. She's like, oh, well.
Well, maybe in Australia, that's how you prove your love.
And you know what's got to her is like she thinks she's just so gorgeous and so awesome because the one time in Australia she went to this club and she heard this guy like saying, oh my word, that chick's so sexy. And she turned around and it was Gary from Geordie Shore.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know if you know Gary. He's quite famous. Gary Beadle or something. He's a really famous guy. Like, really cool.
Okay.
And since he told her that, she was like, I'm just amazing.
She's a shit.
Yeah, she's the shit.
Gary Geordie Shore. I need to look this up.
Well, Geordie Shore is like the British version of Jersey Shore.
So he was in Australia on some kind of holiday or something?
Yeah.
Gaz Beadle, it says.
Yes.
I heard Gaz puts three shots of rum in his Hunters.
Oh, he's the thunder from down under.
No, well, he's from England.
Yeah.
So he was in Australia and he said that your cousin was hot.
He saw her and he said she's hot. Now, like, when we heard that, we were like, oh my word, because we love him. So then she thought
Did anyone see this? Or was this just an extra story from
extra
hair?
No, there's a photo.
Wow.
So we were quite shocked.
There's a photo, Ben.
I phoned her last night and I was like, did you like Photoshop that? She's like, no, I'm dead serious.
Wow. Has she gone back home yet?
No, she's still here.
Oh, you sound so
dismayed. Are you planning one more big weekend out with her?
Yeah, but hopefully it's not with my friends because she's just going to hurt people and steal people's boyfriends. So it's not a good idea.
But is she quite tough though? I mean, to hurt your friends means you might, you know,
your friends are hardcore.
You might have to throw down.
She just doesn't care. Like, even last night at like 10, she phones and she's like, oh, can we hang out? I'm like, no, we cannot hang out.
Gotta work tomorrow.
So, and then I'm like, no.
10 p.m. on a Monday.
I was like, girl, I've got to go to work. So she's like, okay. Then I like can't fall asleep. So I message her at 11:30 and I'm like, Robin, what are you doing? She's like, oh, no, I'm just at Carl's house. I'm like, you met him on Saturday. He's my friend. What are you doing there? She's like, just hanging out.
Yeah, you know what happened.
Yeah. I was just like,
Kyle had the best night ever with extra.
Kyle's already had extra on Saturday, on a Monday as well.
Yeah, good for him. He's like, he just saw some Australian girl with very loose morals.
Yeah, he keeps sending a message to the group saying, oh, I can't believe I pulled a foreign chick. We're like, oh.
And you're like, it's my cousin.
So now she tells me yesterday she wants to stay. She thinks she doesn't want to go back.
Oh, has she been digmatized?
Is that the word?
Oh, yeah.
Digmatized?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
that
wow.
explains that.
Yeah, she's been digmatized.
Can we get Carl on the line?
You should get Robin on the line.
Why don't you bring extra in here one morning? We just chat to her. She's got nothing to lose. You tell her we'll make her famous.
And then she sits there, and the worst thing, now we get to the party.
Mm.
But now I was at the Cadbury thing having a good time. They're sending me a message like, where are you? I'm like, why do you need me? Surely there's other people.
Yeah.
We get there.
No, but it seems to me like you're in the center of this whole situation.
Yeah.
You're the one who connects everybody. Yeah.
And we get there and no one's there. So I'm like, okay. And there's like a few chicks sitting over there, like clicks. And then obviously we get there and extra starts going crazy. And the group gets extra. So these chicks were like, we're leaving. So we're like, bye, Felicia. Like, go. We don't care. So and then like they go and people were just like, no, it was just.
Oh, this is fascinating. I think we should start a new chapter every week. There needs to be a quick Amanda update. And if extra's in the country, it should be called the Amanda Extra.
But now my friend that farts a lot, you should meet her. She's Taylor. Well, she's mad.
Well, bring her in one day.
No.
I mean, we may as well meet the whole crew.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you're part of our life now. Everybody wants to know. People love your updates. I've got messages here. Let me just read some of these to you quickly. I love Amanda's stories. Hang on. Your friends sound very rough, like all really awesome. Reminds me of certain people I know. Well done. That's Greg. Sifrid says this Amanda character needs to take a permanent seat in the studio. She's entertaining and knows how to speak. Denver says, hey guys, I see Lekka J has more than 400,000 views on YouTube.
Woo-hoo.
Thanks to us. Oh, that's nice. Love what you do. I don't know if it's just thanks to us. I think it's a really great song. Love what you do, and Sia needs an executive producer song like Tubbo used to have. Well, we'll work on that.
Wow.
We'll get the Soweto Gospel Choir in. But we are out of time for all this nonsense for now. We've got to get into some news. Here it is, the news. The news is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. So I opened up my app the other day, and it turns out Colcacchio has gifted me with a bunch of slices.
Yeah.
Now, that sounds a lot ruder than it is. What it means is that I can go and get a free salad or pizza or pasta of my choice at Colcacchio Pizzeria, and you can also score, just like I did. All you need to do is download the app. Make sure you got it on your phone. Have you got it on yours, Sia?
Oh, yeah.
You got it on yours, Ben?
Yes, Gareth. I'm all over that.
Ben's a maestro, according to the ranking system on there. Mubs? We're talking to the person who doesn't even know how to switch on her phone and who doesn't know when she leaves it behind.
I'm feeling a little bit left out, so I think I'm going to get in on this Colcacchio action. I mean, free slices? That's how it goes?
I'm going to deputize Sia to take care of that for you, because I don't think you've even been into the app store since you downloaded our app.
Well, firstly, where is your phone today? We have to sort that out first.
You've lost
it's
again?
It's in my bag. It's in my handbag.
Are you sure?
Which is here in the studio.
Okay. One step at a time.
All right. So Colcacchio Pizzeria, download the app and blah, blah, blah. Let's get to the news. What's up, Mubs?
Okay, so remember how yesterday MoneyWeb reported that Eskom had proposed an increase of about 20%?
Oh, just 20%. Of course we can afford that. We'll just absorb it so we can pay for a house in Dubai for the president.
I mean, if you really want to split hairs, it's a 19.9% increase, but we're all about rounding things off here.
Yeah.
So they proposed this in a draft tariff application for 2018 and 2019, which they submitted for comment to National Treasury and the Local Government Association, SALGA. Now, Treasury and SALGA respond to the draft, but the final decision actually lies with the National Energy Regulator. And Chris Yelland, who is with NERSA, said that it is very unlikely that Eskom will get this 20% electricity tariff hike that they are seeking.
I follow him on Twitter, Chris Yelland. This guy knows what he's talking about. One of those people you can actually rely on to get things done. And he knows his stuff. Comes to energy, this guy's on top of things.
Oh, yeah. He said that a huge hurdle Eskom would need to address with NERSA is the numerous reports which have highlighted Eskom's alleged incompliance. And, you know, he spoke about all the scandals that Eskom have also faced in the media recently. Uh-huh. So as far as the energy regulator is concerned, they're not just going to give Eskom what they want. They're going to have to try and, you know, sort their house out first.
Well, I mean, these guys, it's just daylight robbery over there. It sounds like it's a loot fest as far as you could get in there and you could do whatever you want. Everybody's hands are in the till. Every last person. So there's this Coco guy, there's Brian Molefe, there's the Guptas. It sounds like it's a free-for-all. And all we want is electricity, and we're paying a premium for it, and they keep telling us to use less of it. And then they threaten us with load shedding when they run out of money, and they need more out of us. They squeeze us for more, and they say, oh, well, if you don't pay, load shedding.
Yeah, they did warn us about that just a few days ago.
Well,
so
it's time we capture Eskom back.
Yeah. So the latest terrorist attack that took place in London over the weekend makes it Britain's third Islamist attack in as many months. I mean, that's a rough start to the year.
Akbar, death to America.
All three attackers who were involved in this latest incident were shot dead by police. The police then also made at least a dozen arrests in East London over the weekend.
Yeah.
And yesterday, the police named two of the attackers. They said they were trying to identify the third one. Now, one of the attackers...
Can we guess, are they Amish?
No. The Amish don't really leave their enclave. They like to stay.
Right. Which
local.
Is why I like Amish people.
Now, one of the attackers is 27-year-old Khurram Shahzad Butt. He is, or rather was, a British citizen born in Pakistan.
How dare you!
And here's the thing. He had already been investigated by police.
Oh, yeah?
As well as Britain's domestic spy agency, MI5. So, allegedly, this guy was already on the authorities' radar. But, you know, the authorities said, well, there was no intelligence to suggest that this attack was being planned, even though he was somebody that they had investigated before. So, I'm pretty sure, you know, from the authorities' point of view, they're feeling kind of...
stupid.
Responsible, yeah. Annoyed, you know, that they didn't bring this guy in before this attack.
That's outrageous. And you should check everybody who has been to countries like Syria and Saudi Arabia and Iraq and Afghanistan. And you should check
Qatar.
Yeah, and check them. And when they come back to Britain, say, well, you know what? I know you just went on a holiday, but you're going to have to stay there now. We're not having you back. Thank you.
Well, isn't that what... you know, the USA are trying to do by having, well, now they're going to ban the whole world from really traveling with devices on any of their flights.
Maybe they've got some severe paranoia sitting in there. But I just feel that people are going to stop being politically correct about all of this now. Don't tell me it's so offensive that Trump wants to have an Muslim ban when we have actual people dying because of terror attacks all over the world and you're not as offended by that. Do me a favor.
And then just lastly, speaking of Qatar, seemingly nobody wants to be seen associating with Qatar. I don't know what's happened in the last little while. But the Arab world's strongest powers have also cut ties with Qatar. This happened yesterday. This is over alleged support for Islamists and Iran.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, Egypt, United Arab Emirates and Bahrain also cut relations with Qatar. And this all seemed to play out in a coordinated move. So it's a case of they all, you know, were on their phones and they said, okay, so we're going to do this together. Okay, now. Yeah. And then they all did it.
It's a WhatsApp group.
It does. It sounds like a complete and utter high school, we're no longer friends with that guy kind of move.
It's a WhatsApp group and someone has just been blocked.
Because they all say, oh, no, let's just make them look like they support terrorism. It makes us look better.
Well, meanwhile, Saudi Arabia has got the filthiest hands of all. I mean, that country. You've never seen such a hotbed of really shitty ideology. I mean, this is the place that foments and feeds the terrorist machine, whether it's financially, whether it's with their Wahhabi imams who are all over the world setting up schools, madrasas, and whether it's this particular strain of Islam has been almost single-handedly responsible for most of the terrorism that we've seen in the world. This very particular school of the religion of Islam. And I'm not going to get too much into the detail because, first of all, it's going to sound like I'm lecturing. And second of all, I don't think that many people care about the details, sadly. But if you want to know more, look up particularly look up Wahhabi, Wahhabi, Islam. And look at how that school of thought developed within the religion. You know, like in Christianity or in Judaism, you get the fanatical, the extremes. And this is one of them. It's very firmly ensconced with the Saudi king and his family. It's part of the arrangement. All right, that's the news. Let's get into some sport for this morning. Here are the headlines in the sport with Ben Karpinski.
Right, well, the Springboks are playing this weekend, which means people are very anxious. There's no doubt about it. Bok fans.
Yep.
Last year, the scars have still not healed. You talk to anybody about the Boks playing against France next 3 weeks, well,
they get nervous.
They do, Gareth. There's no one saying, oh, yeah, I'm so excited about this. There's a whole different vibe going on because normally what happens this time of year, everybody wants to see the Boks play and there's general excitement and optimism. But that, of course, changed last year when they won all of 33% of their matches. Anyway, let's move on from there. It seems that they're really counting the injuries. Dwayne Vermeulen has come back from France with a buggered shoulder.
Aye, aye, aye.
His injury is, the word severe was used, which isn't very reassuring.
No.
So that means that he is definitely missing this weekend's match, which is always going to happen because he only arrived with the squad this week. The fact he has a severe shoulder injury means that he might not play at all. Damien Donnelly, he is still suffering from a hematoma.
Yeah.
Which means that he won't be playing. And then Lionel Mapu, he's also suffering from a hamstring strain. So he was brought into the team because of Kanyo Am fractured cheekbone. So it looks like our center pairing is going to be, well, whoever can still play center. That's pretty much what's going to happen for this weekend, which is good news for probably Jan Serfontein and Jesse Creel. I imagine that'd be a very sort of likely center pairing, which is all fine by me.
Imagine part of your job is taking pleasure in when other people are injured so you can get a nice place.
Well, it's life, I guess. You know, one person falls away, you get more of a chance. So we'll get more into that closer to the time as far as what the team may be. But the interesting thing would be, what will the halfback pairing be? Elton Junchi is pretty much the only fly-off in the squad. So is Ross Kronier going to get his debut? Well, he is the Lions halfback pairing with Junchi's. But then Francois Hochholz in the mix. And Rudy Page, well, I guess he's just there because everyone feels he should be there. Can't say he's there on form. He's not even the first choice for the Bulls. If you're not first choice for the Bulls, I don't know how you can be first or second choice for the Bucks. Anyway, so I'll get into that too much. This weekend, the game will be played at Loftus. No guarantees if the size of the crowd will swell on the back of this. The British and Irish Lions, they're currently playing in New Zealand. Now, we all know this is the big tour for the year, right? It's hugely exciting. They got off to a sluggish start against the New Zealand Invitational Barbarian Country Districts kind of side. But they've got a big game this weekend. They're taking on... Wednesday. Tomorrow, they're taking on the Blues. Now, the Blues, of course, are a Super Rugby franchise. So what the tour is going to be from here on in, that they'll play the franchise teams, they'll also play the Maori All Blacks, and then it'll be the three tests, the big three tests. That'll be from the 24th of June onwards.
All right. So, sorry, Ben. You've got some exciting music.
That's okay. This is what happens when Lions tours, Gareth. Everyone gets really, really excited. In cricket, well, the rain's cocked it up again. You know, they really, really bust my balls here. So people go on about the fact there's no corruption in cricket and, you know, the IC3 is no such thing. Mm-hmm. The last Champions Trophy took place in England, right? Do these guys not have enough money? It took place in England. Now it's in England again. So let's be completely frank about this. It is a terrible place to play cricket. Firstly, it rains. And secondly, terror attacks. If this had to happen to any other country in the world, England and the rest of them would pack up their bags straight away and that's it.
Yeah, I think that that's a very good point. People
no one dares
give them
to
a free
though,
pass.
Yeah.
You know, people give them a free pass because it's England or America. But you don't hear them cancelling. Like, if that happened in Pakistan.
Oh, jeez, that'd be it.
Pakistan, no one would go.
As a country, they'd probably be banned from playing cricket ever again.
Yeah.
So it's always turning a blind eye to all this crap. But I mean, look at Australia. They've played two matches now and they've had two no results. Two games, okay, they might have lost to New Zealand because New Zealand had them under the pump. But they played Bangladesh yesterday and they were hammering them, right? But then it started pissing down as it always does and every single day in England. So now they've played two, they've had no results. They have to beat England on Saturday. And it just seems a bit strange. So I feared this from the start, that rain is going to cock this tournament up in some strange way. It doesn't mean the best team is going to win. They might get some real sort of funny situations happening. And ultimately, whenever cricket and rain is involved, the Proteas always lose. It's just, that's life, unfortunately. Yeah. So let's just say that the hopes for this Champions Trophy aren't particularly high right now. Speaking of England, though, they'll be in action against New Zealand today. So that'll be a Group A match. And if you're looking for the fixtures for the rest of the week, well, there are, of course, it's a strength versus strength tournament, so every day has got some big fixtures. Today, England versus New Zealand. Wednesday, we'll see Pakistan versus South Africa. That's the next big game for the Proteas. India versus Sri Lanka on Thursday. New Zealand versus Bangladesh on Friday. England versus Australia on Saturday. And then India versus SA on Sunday. So that's just fantastic for your whole week. You've got no football anymore. That's taking a break. But you've got loads of cricket and loads of rugby. In the NBA Finals, Golden State Warriors have gone 2-0 up. Steph Curry and Kevin Durant just killing the Cavs there. So 132 to 113, that is 2-0 up. And again, just like the last time out, we saw the Cavs take a bit of a back foot going into these middle stages of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But they managed to win in the end. I can't quite see this happening again, though. Got to be honest. Right, from there, French Open. We're getting into the real crunch time of things. Today, we have quarterfinals of the ladies. Mladenovic, she'll take on Baczynski.
Mubs knows these people.
Yeah. Of course she does.
Go on, Ben.
Karina Buster will take on Rafael Nadal. Of course, more in the men's. So, you know, the whole thing about Nadal versus Djokovic, well, mm-hmm. after today, we'll know if it's a certainty. Because that's Karina Buster, Nadal, and then after that will be Dominic Thiem will take on Novak Djokovic. So those the big ones there. And then the other women's quarterfinal today, Ostapenko will take on Wozniacki. See, I got to work on this. I reckon I can put it on LinkedIn. I know women's tennis names. That would be probably my biggest skill.
All right.
Ostapenko.
Yeah, if you say so.
Sounds like a really nice meat dish from tapas. So that's no real big stuff from the rest of the tennis, really. I mean, we are going to the quarterfinal stages. On the women's draw, we've got Svitolina versus Halep. That'll be the big match. That'll be from tomorrow. Okay. Fifth seed versus third seed. And let it be known, I from the start said that Svitolina will win this.
But none of us even knew who Svitolina was except you, so that's not much of a prediction.
I did, like everything else. You guys didn't listen, and I could probably say anything. I could say something tomorrow, and you'll go, oh, okay, well done, Ben. Yeah, that's very good. So that's what you got.
No one's giving you a free pass on this one. My buddy said you absolutely did not say such a thing.
I absolutely have. If you go back in my podcast, which you can find on cliffcentral.com every single day, you will find I have been backing the Svitolina from the start. Fifth seed, she's got arms like I wish I had, and tell you what, she knows what to do on the French clay.
All right.
Yeah. That's pretty much it for the sport, Gareth. Lots of rain in England, and the Proteas will be playing Pakistan tomorrow.
All right. Very good. There's Ben Karpinski, everybody, with the sport. You can always catch up with all Ben's podcasts. You just have to go to Ben's Sport. They're there.
On the cliffcentral.com website.
And if that's not enough for you, on Thursdays he does an entire hour, and he focuses on various interesting things, gets interesting guests in the studio. It's a real mix. It's probably the only place that people can speak honestly about sport and not sound like Supersport have given them a script.
Mm.
Take a listen to that. All right, let's move. It's time for Anthea. Everybody, get ready to sing her song. She works hard for your money.
She works hard for money.
Sing it, Sia, come on.
So hard for money.
can't believe I'm asking you to sing. That's it. She's on the line. Hey, Anthea, good morning.
Morning, Gareth.
So, another crap day on the markets yesterday. Thank you very much.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's going on? Why suddenly? What have we hit the skids for? You know, we were doing so well. My portfolio was up like 18% a little while ago.
So there's a couple of things. I mean, firstly, the rand continues to strengthen. It's now 12.70 to the US dollar. The only way I can explain that is this continued momentum from the S&P confirming our credit rating. Hmm. So, of course, the stronger rand will have an impact, and our share index was down slightly yesterday. Huge volume went through, though. $2 billion traded yesterday. And then the one thing I'm finding really strange, which I can't explain why the rand is so strong, is that the JSE has reported that foreigners have been net sellers of our shares pretty much every month this year. In fact, last week we saw the biggest single day of outflows, 17.4 billion rand of shares. So obviously some people are buying, some people are selling, mm-hmm. but net they were sellers of 17.4 billion rand, the foreigners that is. I mean, it was much bigger than the previous high of 4.2 billion of outflows in one day. In fact, that one day last week was even bigger than the total net outflow for the entire month of March. So, and what's strange about it is that obviously it will impact the equity market, the share market. It'll push it down. So as the foreigners sell, they push the share prices lower. But that shouldn't have the same, it shouldn't strengthen the rand. And then also, you know, I've been looking at charts of kind of the currency or the inverted currency versus how the global emerging markets are doing. And I know we think that we are being driven by the politics, kind of all what's going on. But actually, it's almost perfectly correlated to emerging market indices or the emerging market index, which is the MSCI emerging market.
We've discussed this before. First of all, our politicians are a joke to everyone in the world. So they're not going to base their economic and financial decisions on what Jacob Zuma and his cabinet are doing. That's the first thing. The second thing is they've priced in stupidity. And the third thing is that the emerging market economies of the world together consist of a much more powerful wave of influence than just our little rand. Is that about right?
That's pretty much it. And I think what you've forgotten is that yields in emerging markets are so much higher than in developed markets.
Well, if you put money in the bank, let's just explain this to everybody because I only figured this out when you had explained it to me before. If you put money in the bank in any sort of first world economy, you'd be lucky if you even get 1 or 2%.
Well, in Switzerland, you have to pay the bank to keep your money.
Right. So in Switzerland, you get the opposite. You actually lose money if you put it in the bank.
That's right, yes. Mm. Yeah. And so if you're buying emerging market shares or emerging market bonds, you're probably getting 8% or thereabouts. So right. Definitely you'd rather take 8% than 1% or 2%, pretty much how foreigners think.
All right. So that's why they're coming in. That's why they're putting money into the emerging market economies. And we're obviously a beneficiary of that, but it's by no means due to us being so clever.
There has to be an economic thesis in stupidity is priced in.
I'm telling you, I mean, even if we're the only people who've coined the term, we've got to put that out there.
I think so.
Yeah, if there's anybody studying economics now at university and you're thinking of what to write your thesis about, think about writing about pricing in stupidity. I think people would be fascinated to see the results of that kind of statistical research.
I definitely would be.
All right.
And then resources and industrial indices were both lower yesterday, although Steinhoff and Telkom both bucked the trend. Steinhoff was up 1.4%, but that was after Tempur Sealy, you know, their mattress business that they're buying into in the U.S., reported sales up 15% year on year. There seems to be very bullish sentiment around buying mattresses in the U.S. at the moment. Like, all the results are really good.
It's incredible.
Very peculiar.
There's a lot of interest from Steinhoff in mattresses.
But that's why, because Tempur Sealy reported sales up 15% year on year. You take that. We're struggling to get that in South Africa. So can't explain it, I'm afraid. And then Telkom was up 3%. They reported higher than expected results, or I suppose higher than expected. I should say better than expected. I think the most exciting part of their results is that they increased their dividend by 56% to 4.22, which makes their dividend yield of about 5% now. So that's quite nice. Even that's slightly higher than putting money in the bank. Mm-hmm. Earnings per share was up 12%, mostly due to the integration of their 2015 acquisition of Business Connections, which is their B2B division. And then they're seeing accelerated growth in the mobile phone unit, which is all good, I suppose. I think it looks like what it kind of plays out to be is that their three-year turnaround strategy is just paying off for Telkom. I think the biggest issue that they'll have now is that capital expenditure increased by 43% to 8.7 billion rand. So although I think they're making huge strides in kind of turning that business around, they really are having to pay for it. And mostly they're paying for fiber networks and their wireless business. That's where the money's going into. So at least they're kind of staying away from the landline stuff.
And they fired a bunch of people they didn't need,
which they paid for as well, because, sure, of course, if you fire people, it costs money. So yes, you're right. They've streamlined their business.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to throw in?
Yeah, just one thing. Global markets were mostly softer yesterday. The Qatari Stock Exchange fell the most of all global markets. It was down 8%. Yeah, I'm sure you know about the decision.
The rest of the Arab world turning their backs on Qatar suddenly.
Exactly.
In fact, I just got this message from a guy who lives there. He says, "Hey guys, I'm in Qatar, and the latest diplomatic crisis is causing a panic. It appears as though it's a coordinated effort to make Qatar step into line with the rest of the GCC in response to their relationship with Iran and the Muslim Brotherhood. However, most importantly for us expats, this means the shops were swarmed yesterday. As with the land borders closed with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and others, it impacts imports, which Qatar relies on. So if you want to make a quick buck, I'd recommend sending us chicken, milk, and those kinds of products." How's that?
Except that's not a bad idea. Except we probably can't get it because they've stopped all the airlines flying in and out as well, haven't they?
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, we're expecting our quarterly GDP update today. I mean, I think the consensus number is around growth of 0.9%. Anything less, and I think this market will be disappointed. You'll see banks and retailers come off again. I suspect it could be a bit lower than 0.9%. You remember we had quite a few holidays.
Oh, Anthea, you're such an optimist this morning.
Right. I think that's me. I have to go.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right. Ben, what did you want to say about Qatar? You wanted to talk about Qatar?
My dad's flying back there via Qatar next week.
Uh-oh. Your dad in hotspots.
I know.
What the hell? Guy just can't choose. He cannot choose a decent destination.
Can't get it right. Yeah, he's coming back via Doha next week. he's currently with his brother for his little annual holiday.
Yeah.
They're hanging out and he comes back via there.
Well, maybe not. Maybe he'll be stranded again at the airport. Poor man.
That's what happens when there's no water in the Western Cape. People will go wherever they can.
Shame.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got lots of interesting stuff to talk about. In a little while, I want to talk to Mike Stopforth. I saw an update on his Facebook. This guy, he sold the Guptas a thing. It's like a golf thing, and they didn't even pay him. I mean, that's the short synopsis. I was reading
this
yesterday.
You'll not believe the story. It really is quite
something. So the Guptas are not only macroeconomic problems, but even on a micro level, they're really shitty about paying up, and they're really good at getting what they want out of people. I mean, they're just classic shakedown gangsters.
They're everywhere.
And I'm worried to go out to my car after the show today and go to my next meeting in case there's a Gupta standing outside my car waiting to shake me down. I'm telling you, these guys...
Or who now already owns your car.
But they probably do.
Yeah.
Who knows? God damn it. All right, let's get going. Come on, up you get. Your morning's about to start. It's 7 o'clock, just about. The 6th of the 6th. You've been running around, throwing that dirt all on my name. CliffCentral.com.